Today's shiur is Masechta Bechayros Daf Yotes, and we will begin on Daf Yotches Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Rechelov Shlei Bitul. If somebody has two sheep that never had children previously, and he walks into the room and he sees that they're Yaldu Shnei Zacharim, that there are two boys here, Shneim Lekayim. Both of these children belong to the Kayim. Both of these baby animals belong to the Kayim. For they're both Bechayim. Each animal had a Bechar. And as the Mepharshim, the Rishonim point out, some of the cases that we're going to learn in the Mishnah that we're about to learn really represent no Chiddush. This case, for example, if they both had two animals, two boys, it's obvious that each animal had a Bechar, and therefore they explain that not every case mentioned in this Mishnah necessarily represents a Chiddush. Zoch in the Keva, if they walked into the room and there was a boy and a girl, so we assume obviously that the one animal had a boy and therefore it's a Bechar. The other animal had a girl, which is not a Bechar, and therefore the halacha is Hazochah L'Kayin, the Zachar should be given to the Kayin as the Bechar, and the other one, which is in the Keva, as we've learned so many times, Baruch Hashem, there is no din of Bechar by the Keva. Shnei Zacharim in the Keva. Similarly, if there were two boys and a girl born, so we understand that one of the animals had the boy, and therefore he's a Bechar. The other animal had a boy and a girl, had twins, but we don't know which came first, the boy or the girl, and therefore we hamaytzi mechaveroi olav haraya, and the kayim will only get one animal. Echad loy, one of the boys goes to him, vechad lekayim, and the other one will go to the kayim. Says Rav Tarfon. So now we have here two boys. One is going to the kayim, and one is going to the Yisrael. So which goes to whom? Says Rav Tarfon, HaKayim Barah L'Seyofa. The Kayim gets the better of the two. Because, as we learned in the previous year, and we're going to learn in this year as well, we assume, Rav Tarfon explains, that the Bechar is the healthier, stronger animal. And since the Bechar is the healthier, stronger animal, so when we don't know which of these two animals is the Bechar and which is not, we assume that the healthier animal is the Bechar, and that's the animal that goes to the Kayim. Rav Kiva explains, as Rav Yochanan taught us in the previous year, how to understand Rav Kiva's opinion, that the halacha is Meshamnim B'nehem. Since we have the principle of Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya, so Rav Kiva's opinion is that the Kayin gets the weaker animal, because the Yisrael could say that the healthier animal is the animal that is not the Bechar, and we have the concept of Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya. Vasheni, however, the animal that the Yisrael keeps, Yerachi Yistaf. The halacha is, may not be used. The reason this animal may not be used until it becomes a Balmum is, as we always explained, we're assuming that the animal that the Yisrael kept is the non-Bechar, and that the animal that the Kayin got is the Bechar. But we obviously don't know that for certain. And since we don't know that for certain, we need to think that maybe the animal that the Yisrael is holding is a Bechar. And obviously the halacha is that an animal which the Yisrael is holding, which is a Bechar, the halacha is that he's not allowed to use for his own personal use until it becomes Balmum. And therefore the halacha is Yiras Yistav, and furthermore, Chayv Matonis. He has to give Matnas Kuna from this animal. Again, as we've explained in the previous year, this represents the opinion of Rameya, who says that the Kayin comes to the Yisrael and says to Yisrael, Memanav Shach, if the animal, that you're holding is the Bechar, then the entire animal belongs to me, because it's a Bechar. If the animal you're holding is not a Bechar, then you owe Matnas Kahuna. So since the Kayin, as we explained, has this double claim, that's why Tanakama, which we explained in the previous year, represents the opinion of Rameya, says Matnas Kahuna don't have to be given. Rabbi Yossi, Paiter Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and we'll explain soon in the Mishnah why. Continues the Mishnah. Meis Echemahem. We just had a situation where there were two boys and a girl, and one of them is a Bechar, and one of them is not. And we don't know which is the animal that's the Bechar, and which is the animal that's not. And therefore, one of them dies. We don't know if the Bechar died or the non-Bechar died. So, Tafram Yachlaiku. And as we learned in the previous year, the Gemara said that this actually represents a retraction on the part of Reb Tarfon. Because as we said earlier in the Mishnah, Reb Tarfon's opinion is that the healthier animal is always the animal that's assumed to be the Bechar. So if the healthier animal is always the animal to be assumed, which is the Bechar, so why don't we just look at which is the animal that died? If the healthier animal died, it's the Kohen's loss. If it's the weaker animal that died, it's the Yisrael's loss. Obviously, Reb Tarfon retracted from his opinion. And Reb Akiva, true to his opinion throughout, says, Hamaisi Mechaveroi, Alav Haraya. Continues the Mishnah. Stay in the Kavis V'Zachar. In a case where we have different combinations, where they have two animals that never had children previously, and he walks into the room and he sees that there are two girls here and a boy, or he walks into the room and he sees there are shnei nekevus v'shtei zacharim. He walks into the room and he sees there are two boys and two girls, and kam l'kayin klum. Because in all these situations, we because of the operating principle of hamotzi mechaveroi olav haraya, now the halacha is that since the kohen cannot definitively prove that there was for sure a bechor here, he gets nothing. And as we explained in the previous year from the Chazon Ish, Reb Tarfon will agree to this concept. Because even Reb Tarfon, who said that we don't automatically say Moitz Mechaveroi Olaf Haraya, that's only in a case where there's for sure a Bechar. So where there's for sure a Bechar, says Reb Tarfon whatever he says. But in these cases, where we can't know for sure that there's a Bechar at all, Reb Tarfon will agree that the Kohen gets nothing. Now continues the Mishnah with another case. Achas Bikra, Vachas Lai Bikra. We have two animals. One had children previously, and one did not have children previously. V'yoldu Shnei Zacharim. And now we walk into the room, and there are two boys here. So we don't know which one is the Bechar and which is not. Echad Loi Vech L'Kayim. So one animal goes to the Yisrael, and one animal goes to the Kayim. Which one? Tarfon Omer, HaKayim Baris HaYofa. The Kayim gets the better one. We assume that the better one is the Bechar. And as the Rishonim point out, even though, as we said earlier in the Shir, and as we learned in our previous Shir, Reb Tarfon actually retracts from this position. So how does the Mishnah say again that this is the opinion of Reb Tarfon, when we just said that we have a Raya, the Reb Tarfon retracted from this position? Say the Rishonim, that obviously what happened here was that Reb Tarfon learned all of, Reb Tarfon did not speak about his position all of the time the same way. Rather, what happened was Reb Tarfon said his opinion, his original opinion, under different circumstances, and then when Rebbe put together the Mishnayos, he combined all of the cases that Reb Tarfon addressed, even though in all of them Reb Tarfon actually changed his opinion. Rekiva says Mishamna B'neim. Rekiva says that we divided because of the concept of Hamotzi Mechavera Olivaraya, so the Yisrael has the upper hand. And as we said also in our previous year, the reason Rabbi Akiva uses this wording of Mishamnim B'neim, he should have just said that Hamotzi Mechavera Olivaraya, because Rabbi Akiva is addressing Rabbi Tarfin, that you, Rabbi Tarfin, says Rabbi Akiva to him, hold, that the way that this should be looked at is that the Kohen Baruch Hayofa, I say that that's not the way to look at it, but rather the way to look at it is Mishamnim B'neim, which as we explained in the previous year means that the Kohen, that the Yisrael gets the upper hand, the Yisrael gets the better animal. But Rabbi Akiva agrees, V'sheni Yirat Yistav, we have to wait until the animal that the Yisrael gets becomes Balmum, because there's always the possibility that this animal is actually the Bechor, and since there's the possibility that this animal is the Bechor, the Yisrael may not use it until it becomes a Balmum. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, V'chayiv imatonis, it's chayiv imatnis kuhuna, because again, this is the opinion of Rameya, who says, Memanushach, if it's a Bechor, then the Kohen says, you owe me the entire animal. If it's not a Bechor, then you owe me at least the Matnas Kahuna. Rabbi Yossi Paiter. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says that there is no Chiv Matnas Kahuna, for as we explained in the previous year, Shere Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Kol Shechalifa B'yad HaKohen Potem Matanus. As we explained in the previous year, what Rabbi Yossi means to say here is that when the Yisrael and the Kohen have these two animals, and they have to make an arrangement by between themselves, with the Yisrael getting one animal and the Kohen getting the other animal, what happens here, says Rabbi Yossi, is that they're actually making a deal between themselves. And the deal says that I will take my animal, I will take one animal, you will take another animal. The animal I take is completely mine. The animal that you take is completely yours. And we have no further claims to each other. Rameyer, on the other hand, says, Chayiv, as we've been explaining the opinion of Rameyer, Rameyer says there is a Chayiv Matas Kuna. Actually, the Mefarshim asks a very important question. As we learned in the previous year, and as we've been saying in this year, the Tanakhama, who says that Chayiv Matanus, is Rameya. So let's understand what we just read in the Mishnah. First the Mishnah says Chayiv Matanus, which is the opinion of Rameya. Then the Mishnah says Rabbi Yossi Poiter, it is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, for the reason just explained, that it's not Chayiv Matanus. And then the Mishnah again says Rameya Mechayiv. But we already learned Rameya's opinion. Why is the Mishnah repeating Rameya's opinion? So Mefarshim answer. Because as we learned in our previous year, there was a discussion, what is the reason for Rameya? And the Gemara suggested that the reason for Rameya, as we've been explaining, is because Rameya holds that the Kohen has a taina mishnei tzadim. He has that memanavshach taina that we've been discussing. But the Gemara also suggested that maybe the explanation of Rameyer is because Shloi Tishtakach Torah Matanis. And as we explained in the previous year, there would be a nafgamina by the case of Sofik Meiser, that if the reason is because of Shloi Tishtakach Torah Matanis, then even by Sofik Meiser, Rameyer would say that the halacha is that the Kohen gets the Matanis. To show that is not the reason of Rameya, but that the reasoning for Rameya is, as we've been learning, because he has this claim, Mishnei Tzadim, repeats the Gemara, repeats the Mishnah, Shremei Mechayiv. Rameya says to Rabbi Yossi, the only reason, the only factor to be taken into consideration here is one thing and one thing only, and that is that the issue of state, that the Kohen comes, Mishnei Tzadim. Continues the Gemara, Meis Echemahem, when one of the animal dies, Reb Tarfin Oymi Echleiku, they divide the animal that's left over. Rekiva Oymer, Rekiva says, Hamaitz Mechaveir Olav Araya, that the Yisrael says to the Kohen, prove to me that it was the my animal that died, and until you can prove that, how much mechaver all over raya, and I give you nothing. In a case where there were two animals, again, one had children previously, and one did not have children previously, and they now have, and now we walk into the room, and we see a zochav in the keva, we see a boy and a girl here, we don't know who had the boy, who had the girl, and kalakayim klum, the kayim has no claim. And this, again, as we've been quoting the opinion of the Chazon Ish tells us that in this case, again, Rav Tarfon will agree. Because as we keep on saying, the only time Rav Tarfon disagrees is in a situation where the kohen is entitled to something. Once he's entitled to something, we start discussing what is he actually entitled to. But in a case where the kohen may not be entitled to anything, there is no discussion, and certainly the halacha is that the kohen gets even Rav Tarfon will agree the kohen gets nothing. So, ask the Gemara. We've mentioned the same machloikis of Rav Kiva Rav Tarfon so many times in the last couple of shurim, where Rav Tarfon always takes the opinion that if the kohen is entitled to something, we should do yachloiku. And Rav Kiva's opinion is hamotzi mechavera olav araya. So, ask the Gemara. Why does the Gemara have to? Why do we have to keep on repeating that same concept so many times? Answer the same machloikus. Answer the Gemara Tzricha. The same machloikus had to be mentioned over and over again. The Yashmin and Kamaisa. If we only had the first case where two animals are born at the same time, the case that we discussed at the beginning of the previous Mishnah, that's when. Vahikam Rabbi Kiva. That's where Rabbi Kiva said the animal, the kohen gets the weaker animal. The Trei Mechada, when two animals are born from one mother, there's no reason to assume one is the Bechar over assuming that the other one is the Bechar. Avol Rechelov Shloi Bikru. In the case of our Mishnah, where we had three animals in the room, and now we don't know who is the Bechor and who is not the Bechor. Where one animal obviously had a boy and a girl, and one animal had a boy alone. Where maybe, says the Gemara, the Trei Mechada, where one animal had twins, two children, the boy and the girl, the Chada Mechada, and the other animal had only one child. Eimem Moidel or Tarfin. Perhaps in such a situation, Reb Kiva agrees to Reb Tarfon. That the animal that only had one child must be the stronger child, and therefore must be the Bechor, because twins are not going to be as strong as children born by themselves. That's why, and therefore maybe in such a situation, Rabbi Kiva will agree to Rabbi Tarfon. Teaches us the Gemara that even then, Rabbi Kiva doesn't agree to Rabbi Tarfon's principle that we assume that the stronger animal is the Bechor. V'yashmin and Ha. If we spoke only about a case where the two animals never had children previously, Baha come Rabbi Kiva. That's where Rabbi Kiva says that the Yisrael keeps the better animal. The Tavayu La Bikru, both of them have not had Bechayrim children before. But in a case that the Mishnah continues discussing, where Achas Bikra, Vachas Shalai Bikra, where you have two mothers, one had children previously, and one did not have children previously. And Yoldish Dezacharim, and now we have two baby boys born. Eimem Moidel Rav Tarfon. Perhaps there Rav Kiva agrees with Rav Tarfon. The Hach Deloi Bikra Shvich Tvei, the animal that did not have children previously will have the stronger animal, and the animal that already had children, and this is therefore to her a second child or later child, is certainly weaker. A Bechor is always a stronger child. Maybe there Rav Kiva agrees to Rav Tarfon. That's why Tzricha said Rabbi Kiva doesn't agree to that principle even in that situation either. The Mefarshim discuss, does the fact that there's a girl here and the strength of the girl, is the strength of the girl or the, a factor in determining who is a Bechor or not? And in order to avoid the question, they'll say that in all the cases where there's a girl as well, we'll be talking that the girl is certainly the weakest animal, and therefore there's no question that she was not the first, and therefore there's no reason for discussion. We've always learned, and that is indeed the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, as we will now see, that in order for an animal to be considered a Bechor, it has to be the firstborn male born naturally. However, says the Mishnah, Yotzi Daifin, if the first child was born through cesarean or Haba Akrov, the first boy born naturally after a cesarean, Retarfin Aimer, Retarfin says Shneim Yirach Yistavu. Retarfin says that there's a question, because as the Gemara will teach us in a moment, Reb Tarfin isn't quite certain what makes up being a Bechor. This is the simple pshat in Reb Tarfin. Then when the Torah says that there's a din of Bechor, does the Torah mean that even if the boy was born through cesarean, he's also considered a Bechor? Or does the Torah also perhaps mean that the first boy born naturally is a Bechor, and therefore even if there was a child previously to this child, but he was born with a cesarean, Reb Tarfin would call the next one a Bechor, and therefore because he has this question, the halacha is Yirach Yistavu, it should be left till it becomes Bar Mum, and once it becomes a Bar Mum, then we know for sure that it may be eaten, it's not a carbon. There are others that explain that B'yachad B'mum L'balam, and then the owners may eat it, because it's certainly not a carbon anymore. There are others that explain that the suffix of Reb Tarfin actually goes back to a Gemara that we discussed, to an issue that we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. The question is, when the Torah uses the words kol bechor, what does the Torah mean with kol? Does the Torah mean kol, that it, until it's completely a bechor, and therefore it has to be the firstborn naturally, anything else will not be a Bechor? Or does Kol HaBechor not speak about that, but rather it means that there are different types of Bechorim, but not that it should be a Bechor, not that Kol comes to describe the specific Bechor that has to have all of the qualities of Bechor. Furthermore, the Or Sameach points out that even according to Reb Tarfin, who says that the firstborn child with a cesarean, or the first boy if he's a cesarean, or the first naturally born boy after cesarean, are all Bechorim, he will agree, Reb Tarfin will agree that if the first child is a girl, then the halacha will certainly be that she is not a Bechor, and if she was born naturally, the child born after her will not be a Bechor either. That certainly Reb Tarfin will agree to as well. Furthermore, there's a very interesting machloikus achroinim. The achroinim say that the Mishnah says clearly that according to Reb Tarfin, because he has this question, are we to consider these Bechorim that only have one characteristic of a Bechor as Bechorim or not? See, the halacha is Yirach Yistavu. And we know the definition of Yirach Yistavu, which we keep on having in our sugyas, means that we wait for the animal to become a Balmur. But the question here is, this animal that was born with cesarean, that we know the halacha is that an animal that was born through a cesarean may not be brought as a carbon. So is the fact that it has this defect, and because of this defect, it will not be able to be brought as a carbon, enough of an issue to make it be considered a Bal Mum, and no other Mum has to develop? Some Achrayim say absolutely. Because they say, what is the point of it becoming a Bal Mum? The point of it becoming a balmum is that once it's a balmum, it can't be put on the mizbeach. So what's the difference, they point out, what the mum is? As soon as it has a mum, as soon as it has a reason that it can't be put on the mizbeach, it's considered a balmum, and the halacha will be that it could be used by the it could be used by the Yisrael. Others say that the fact that it was born by cesarean, although clearly the halacha is that an animal born by cesarean may not be put on the mizbeach, that doesn't make it into a mum. A cesarean is not a mum. A cesarean is only a reason why an animal should not may not be brought as a carbon, and the Mishnah requires that it have a mum. Rav Kiva, however, says the Mishnah, Hari, Shneim and a Bechor, they're both not to be considered a Bechor. Harishim Nesha and a Petarechem, the one born first through cesarean, because it's not a Petarechem. Vasheni is not a Bechor, Nesha Kudmacher, because it has an older sibling. So I saw the Paiskim point out. We've been discussing many times in our Masechta, especially Bizman Hazeh, where we don't want to end up with a situation of a Bechor, because we can't bring it as a carbon. So, as we discussed, we should sell the animal to a guy. What happens if you have a farmer in a remote location, and he's not enough of a Talmud Chacham to know how to do such a Mechira to a guy? And as we also discussed at the beginning of our Masechta, making the animal, the Bechor, a Balmum, while it is in its mother's womb is also somewhat complicated. So what can this farmer do? So the Paiskim suggest what the farmer should do is make sure that this first animal that's born should be born through a cesarean, and if it will be born through a cesarean, then as we're learning, the halacha is that an animal born through cesarean is not considered a bechor. However, the Paiskim point out that this is not necessarily such a simple solution, because they explain that there's a discussion also amongst the Paiskim, if a mother, if an animal experiences childbirth through cesarean, where her womb had to, she had to go through an operation, the question is, does that turn the mother into a trefa? And the halacha distinguishes between what type of a cesarean, was it through medicine, was it through a cut, was her womb removed, or was it just cut open, many different details. And therefore, although by having this child born, this animal born through cesarean, we avoid questions of bechayra, but now we may open up new questions on that the mother may be a trefa. Says the Gemara, the Maikamathki, what is the question between Rav Tarfin and Rav Akiva? Answers the Gemara, Rav Tarfin Masapkele. Rav Tarfin, as we explained, has a question. If bechor lo davar echad, he have a bechor, he lo have a bechor. If an animal has only one characteristic of bechor, is it a bechor or not? And therefore, Rav Tarfin has a suffix. Rekiva pshitalei Rekiva, however, to him it's poshut that bechor lo davar echad, lo have a bechor. That's not all the characteristics of a bechor. And now the Gemara will quote a braisa. How we know what, how Rabbi Kiva knows what he holds. Just a word of introduction. We know, and many of us say every day, the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. The Shmuel says the Midrash, the Torah, and the Dreshes. And the Gemara, and the Braisa, and the Braisa says, Klal Prat. What is the definition of a Klal Prat? Klal is that you first have a general word, and then you have a Prat which limits the klal. But actually, besides having a klal or prat, as we're about to learn in our Gemara, there's another type of limud. Actually, two other types of limud. A klal hatzorach leprat, and a prat hatzorach klal. A klal hatzorach leprat, unlike a klal or prat, is as follows. A klal or prat means that I have a klal. The klal is understandable on its own. Then the Torah says a prat, which serves to limit the klal. A klal at tzarach leprat, as we'll soon see, is a situation that were we not to have the prat, we can't understand what the klal means. And similarly, as we're going to see, there's a situation of a prat hatzorach l'klal, where again, that means where we have a prat that we wouldn't understand what that prat means if we don't have the klal explaining it. So the Gebraitha begins. Tana abonim b'chlal hatzorach l'frat or prat hatzorach l'klal. Ketzad. And here we have a machloikis how to understand the first words of this Gebraitha. Kaddish li kabachor. The Torah says the words kaddish li kabachor. Yochal afil in the keva b'mashma. It means even the keva. So I'm going to explain, because the word b'chor means a boy or a girl. Other mepharshim explain it otherwise. They say that the Torah, by using the words kol habachor, certainly means a boy or a girl. Tamad loimer, that's why the Torah then says the word zachar, that it means only boys. So Rashi explains that this is a situation of a klal uprat. Many mepharshim disagree with Rashi. And the reason they disagree with Rashi is because the first pasuk of Kaddish Li Kabachor is a pasuk in Shemais. The other pasuk that the Gemara is quoting of Zohar, Kol B'chor Shivol B'Karcho B'Zitzoyncha HaZohar Takdish L'Hashem, is a pasuk in Devarim. And they say that we have a rule when we speak about Klal Prat, the Klal Prat Ham Ruchokim Zemizeh, when the Klal Prat are not near each other, they're not to be treated as a Klal Prat. So when one is in Shmais and one is Devarim, it can't be considered a klal uprat. And therefore they say that this example that the Mishnah gave, the Braisa just gave, also is a situation of a klal hatzorach uprat. How do we defend Rashi? So I saw a number of explanations. One explanation in defense of Rashi is that the word zohar that the Gemara is quoting here, that isn't the word zohar mentioned in Devarim, which indeed would cause a problem of klal prat hamruchotim zemezeh, but rather it's referring to the word zohar that's mentioned in Shemais, in Parashas Boy, where the word is in zohar, has zacharim, but therefore it's not a klal prat hamruchotim zemezeh. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that when is there a rule, the klal prat Hamruchokim Zemizeh cannot be learned as a klal uprat. That's only in a situation where the two parshiyos that were making klal uprat don't speak about the same issue. But when the two parshiyos that we're talking about speak to the same issue, the issue of Bechaira, the fact that they're far from each other is not a concern. But then I saw a beautiful pshat for Rabbi Yoshev. Rabbi Yoshev explains as follows. He says, why indeed does the Gemara say that a klal prat ham ruchokim zemizeh is not to be treated as a klal prat? Because he says that we have a rule, ein mugdam amucha b'tayra, and therefore who says that this is the klal and this is the prat? Maybe it's just the other way. Maybe it's prat to klal. However, he says, in a situation where we see that the Torah has connected the two parashiyos, even though the two parashiyos are distant from each other, we don't have a problem of klal prat hamruchokim zemizeh. So he says, we're going to learn in a moment that these two parashiyos by Shemais and Devarim, are also a situation of a klal hatzorach l'frat. By a klal hatzorach l'frat, there is no problem of ruchokim zemizeh. Because, as we said earlier, we need the prat to simply explain what the klal means. Since these two parashiyos are therefore connected through the limud that we're about to learn of klal hatzorach l'frat, so even though, yes, we may normally have a concern of klal prat and ruchokim zemizeh, that's only when they're not already connected. But here, where they're already connected, because of the klal tzarech l'frat, they may remain connected. So the Gemara continues. E zachar, we just learned that only zacharim are bechayrim. Yachal afil yotzus on the cable of fonof, and therefore maybe even if there's a girl born before the boy, the first boy should be considered a bechar. Tamaloyim, the Torah says the word petarechem, that an animal is only bechar if it's the first to come out naturally from its mother's womb. E petarechem, if that's the requirement, yachal afil yotz achal yotzu daifin, if it was born first, the first child born naturally, even if it has older siblings that were born through cesarean, Tamaloyim, the Torah says bechar, that's only considered a bechar, only if it's a bechar in all ways. It has to be the first one born to its mother naturally. Amalei Rav Shabi Labaya. So now Rav Shabi asks Abaye the following question. Reishaloi kanosloi tamud bechar. When we look at this brisa, so just to understand the brisa, so what the brisa is saying is that the Torah says the word zohar, which is a klal, means all types of boy, but we don't know what that means. So then we have the prat, a petarechem, to explain that it has to be a boy born naturally. Furthermore, we have the word petarechem, which is a prat, and we don't know what that means, and maybe therefore it means, even if it was born, the first naturally born child, even if it has an older sibling that was born through cesarean, that's why the Torah says the word bechar, which therefore it's a klal, a prat hatzorich lechlal. And as the Rishonim explain, even though many times we have a limud of a klal hamoisif ala prat, so they explain we only say klal hamoisif ala prat when it's a situation where the prat is independently understandable. But here, since the word petarechem is somewhat ambiguous, and we therefore need the klal afterward to help us understand what it means, it's not considered a klal moisef al prat, but rather it's a prat hatzoruch leklal to help us understand what it means. Now goes the Gemara to ask Rav Shabia. Let's look at this brisa, the second part of the brisa. The brisa said that if the Torah would have just used the word zohar, I would think if it has an older sister, it still could be a bechor. That's why the Torah said the word petarechem. But what doesn't the brisa say, says Rav Shabia? Reisha lo kanos le tamud bechor. The reisha is not proving that it's not a bechor because the Torah uses the word bechor, but rather it's only because the Torah uses the word petarechem. But if we only had the word bechor, that wouldn't be a reason to say that if it has an older sister, it's not a bechor. Because obviously, this brisa is of the opinion, the bechor l'davar echad, that even though it's only bechor in one characteristic, that it's the oldest boy, it's enough to be considered a bechor. Sefer, but let's learn the brisa further. Kanosiv le tamud bechor. Then the brisa says the word bechor to teach us that unless it's a bechor in all ways, it's not a bechor. And that's why the brisa at the end of the brisa said that even though if it was born after, it's the firstborn natural boy, but it has an older sibling that was born through cesarean, it's not a bechor. So obviously the brisa of the opinion that bechor l'davar achar lo yav a bechor. Because if the brisa were to hold that a bechor l'davar achar is loy bechor, then the brisa earlier should have mentioned that explanation. Amalei says Abaye to Reb Shabia, loy l'bechor l'davar achar lo yav a bechor. This brisa holds that you have to be a full-fledged bechor. So if that's the case, why didn't the brisa say that as the reason that if the child was born after a yotze daifin, an older sister, if it was born after an older sister, it should not be a bechor because of that. Lo yav bechor l'davar achar lo yav a bechor. Reish achkam, this is the way to understand the reisha. E zocher, if the Torah would have just said the word zocher, afilu yotze daifin, I would think that even if the first child is a boy, and he was born through cesarean, he should be considered a bechor. Tamaloyim a petarechem, that's why the Torah says petarechem. That's how Abaya responds to Rav Shabia's question. Ravina responds differently. Ravina And as Rashi points out, there is no machlokes between Ravina and Abaye and Halacha. The machlokes between Ravina and Abaye is only in how to understand what the Torah is saying. What the Bryce is saying, actually. B'chor l'dover echad have a b'chor. A b'chor with one characteristic is a b'chor. If so, the Sefer, which says that a child born, the naturally born child, born after cesarean born child is not a b'chor, hachikam, is to be understood as follows. Isak daitav, if you're going to say, yotza achi yotza doifin kaidish, that if the child born after a cesarean is also b'chor, b'chor, then when the Torah says the word b'chor, the kas rachmana lamali, why did the Torah have to say the word b'chor? Ilamuti hecha, the yotza mekevi l'fonav, if the Torah is teaching us that a b'chor, he's not a b'chor, because it has an older sister, then I don't need the word b'chor to teach us. Mepetem rechem nafka, that we can learn because it's not the pet rechem. Ela, shmamina, from here we see, b'chor, the reason the Torah added the word b'chor, lemuti hech the yotza achi yotza doifin, that if the older child is a cesarean, that even though it should be considered a b'chor, because this Bryce, according to Ravina's understanding, holds that a b'chor l'dava echad have a b'chor, it's not going to be considered a b'chor because of the Torah's extra word b'chor. Amalei Rav Achva distal Ravina is salkadatif. If your explanation is correct, the b'chor l'dava echad have a b'chor, that even if it's just somewhat a b'chor, it's a b'chor, tenach, so I can understand hech di yotze yot zoche derech doifin. That if the first child was a boy born through cesarean, and then there was another boy, Zohar Dachrechem, the second boy was born naturally, that second boy, the Loi Kaddish, even though it's the first boy born naturally, will not be considered a Bechor, Demut, because the Torah has eliminated him from being considered a Bechor, from the extra word Bechor, as we just said. The Bechor l'Rechamim Ikka, because even though it's the firstborn naturally boy, Bechor l'Zachar Mleka, it's not the first boy. However, according to you, El Hecha, the Yotz in the cave of Derech Doifin, if the first child was a naturally born girl, and then Zocha Derech Rechem, the next child will be a naturally born boy, Lidish, because here we have that this child is a b'chor l'zachar, and he's the first boy, and he's a b'chor l'rechem, and he's also the first boy, the first child that came out through the womb. And we don't have a word, according to you, to say that he should not be considered a b'chor. Yet we know that even if the first child was a girl born through cesarean, the next child, even if it'll be a boy born naturally, will not be considered a b'chor. A mechvata, therefore, it must be, like Abaye explained, the Bryce. Hanulach halakech ubitzrasa. Hanulach halakech ubitzrasa. Hanulach halakech ubitzrasa. Says the Mishnah. Halakech behemah man chachamim, somebody buys an animal for a goy. And as we'll see in the Gemara, we're specifically speaking about the animal was bought from a goy. When the animal was bought from a Jew, so we could ask the Jew the status of the animal. Then day in Bikram Shalai Bikram. We don't know if this animal that we bought had children before or not. If it had children before, then the boy born will not be Bechor. Otherwise, it will be Bechor. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Eiz ben Shnoisa, if I bought an animal in the first year, and we see it has a baby boy, we can be sure the valuable coin that this child is a Bechor. Because, as we'll see, it's impossible that it should have had two children in this 1 year. Mikan Velech, but after the first year, it has a child, Safik, even if we can't know its status. Similarly, Rachel Vashtayim, if you bought a sheep that's in the second year, Vadalkan, and it has a baby, we could be sure it did not have a baby previously, and therefore this baby, if it's a boy, is Vadei L'Koyim. Mikan V'Elech, but after the second year, so he could have had a child previously, and it's a suffix. Parav HaKamor, if he bought a cow or a donkey, B'nai Shalish, if the animal is 3 years older or older, or younger, Vada L'Kayim. Because, as the Rishonim explained, and here it's a little different explanation than in the case that we've learned till now, here it means that certainly it could not have had children before, because it can't have children before it's 3 years old, and therefore the child born now must be Bechor. It's a suffix. So it's different here. Here, in the other one, it had children because it couldn't have had a second child. Here, it couldn't have had children at all. And in fact, the Arsamaic explains, we can now understand why a cow, until it's 3 years old, is called an ego, a calf. And when it's 3 years old, it's called a paro. Because, as our Mishnah is teaching us, until it's 3 years old, it doesn't have children. It can't have children. Once it's 3 years old, paro, it could multiply. However, the Rishonim, Tosis in Masechta Avodah Zarah, says that already in their time, things changed, and animals had bechayrim when they were, that animals had, cows had children, even when they were less than 3 years old. And in fact, there's an interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim, that they say that animals having children, that here we see in the Shtana Tivin, that things change from the way it was in the times of the Gemara. Similarly, we know that the Gemara says that a child cannot survive if it was born in the ninth month and wasn't in its mother's womb the entire ninth month. That too we know is no longer the case. Again, because Mishtano Ativin. However, the Paiskim, and as the Chazon Ish explains, the reason Mishtano Ativin is because the climate we live in, the food we eat, all has changed. However, the Paiskim do also point out that even though we're learning a concept of Mishtano Ativin, they say, only applies in a situation where there's no halachic ramification. We're talking about a reality. Cows now are born, have children before they're 3 years old. But let's say a halacha was based on a reality in the time of Chazal. And now, even though that reality changed, the halacha doesn't change. What do I mean? We know that the shear, typically for eating, is a kazayas. And we also know that the kazayas in the time of Chazal, the olive in the time of Chazal, was much larger than the olive we have nowadays. So should we say that if you have to eat a kazayas matzah, you have to eat a little small piece because an olive is such a small thing? Of course not. Because we follow what was the kazayas in the time Chazal. But that has nothing to do with the Shtanu HaTivin. Amalei Rekiva. Rekiva says to Rishmo, Il b'vlada b'vlada b'hema nefteres. Would halacha to be, says Rabbi Akiva, that the only reason time an animal is not considered a bechor is if the animal prior to that, if it had an older sibling that was born, you'd be right. Kedvarech, you'd be right. Elam Rahava Chazal Tilos. Simen Avlad Behemah Dakatinuf. As soon as a small discharge comes out by Behemah Daka, or by Behemah Gasa, or Shilya, the afterbirth comes out, or be Isha Shvir Vishilya, by a woman, either the embryo or the afterbirth, the child that will come afterward is a bechor. Will not be a bechor. And therefore here, says Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Shmuel, your proof, your explanation will not stand up. The reason your explanation will not stand up, he says, is because, yes, if we see it had a child, it didn't have a child previously, but maybe it had tinuf previously, and if it had tinuf previously, the next child won't be a bechor. The Mefarshim point out that by an Isha, by a woman, Shvir is enough to be considered that the next child is not a Bechor. By an animal, we need much more of a discharge. The reason they explain is because by a woman, where the issue is only an issue of Pinyan HaBen, the only fact that's taken, it's only a question of Dine Mominus. And we're therefore more lenient than by a question of Bechor, which not only questions the Namanus, which is a question of Issa Hetzah, carbon. And Rukiva makes the point. Tzaklal. Kol Shidush Bikra, where we know that it had before a discharge and Kalakai and Klum. Because Shlai Bikra, if we know for sure that this is the completely firstborn child, naturally born child, Harezel Lakoyim. From Suffolk, if we have a question, Yachim Mumma Baum, the owner keeps it, because the Maitz Machaber Olav Haraya, but he has to wait till it becomes a Baum Mum, because otherwise he may be using a Bechal. Here, too, the Mepharshim asks, what is the Mishnah trying to accomplish with this cloud? Some say, the Tosfos Yontif says it's just coming to summarize. Others say that it's coming to teach us the halacha that the Rekiva will teach us, that an animal, as soon as it nurses that Saraya, that it already had, if it was nursing before this child was born, Saraya that it had an older brother.